Calling the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting in order for this day, Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2016. Anyone has any cell phones, if you put them on silent now, it's not to disrupt the meeting. Appreciate it. If you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number four, this is discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for this day, February the 2nd, 2016. Are there any corrections or changes we need to make today?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any public comment on today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the agenda for today, February 2nd, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye, unanimous. Moving along now to item number five, discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for January the 5th, 2016. Any errors, omissions, or corrections to those minutes? Any public comment on the minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve the minutes for January the 5th, 2016.
I'll move to approve the minutes of January 5th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for January the 5th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for January the 19th of 2016. Is there any public comment on these minutes? Ms. Bart?
It went once.
Nicole Bard, Story County citizen, resident. In, on the January 19th minutes, and actually during the meeting, Pat had made a comment and referred to the use of Gladding and, is it Michael or Michel? Okay, so that's missing from here, and given that that was the external third party that was going to be doing the investigations rather than have the sheriff do it, I think it's material to the minutes of that meeting. It's, okay. It's in the recording.
Okay, and I'd have to go back and listen. If you want to make a motion contingent, I'd like to go back and listen to my comments. My comments should have been in the perspective that it was someone like Gladding and Michelle. I have talked with Mr. Gladding, but in no way have we pre-selected anybody. If I implied any differently, I'd like to listen to also reflect that.
Okay, just saying that was missing. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other public comment on the minutes? January the 19th. Hearing none, motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes of January 19th, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for January 19th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any public comment on today's consent agenda?
Mr. Chairman, the consent agenda involves an application of a liquor license, and I believe there will be some disclosures.
Very good. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Loomis, with that being said, for full disclosure, I have a pecuniary interest in a business on the Main Street of Virginia City that engages in these licenses as well, cabaret and liquor. Mr. Gilman?
Yes, I also have a pecuniary interest in a liquor and cabaret license on the C Street as a part of a class of users within Story County.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
And moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. How about if we start out with the fire chief today? Gary?
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Prior to the meeting, I handed out a report that we were proposing to assemble once a month and submit to you and the public for review. This report is a direct reflection of the new software upgrades that we've been allowed to purchase. It's called emergency reporting software. This report took us about 30 minutes to compile, where this used to take us literally 20 to 30 hours to compile each month. So that purchase of that software is working out extremely well, and it enables us to give you reports like this. I'd like to walk through it just real quickly, if you don't mind. There's a few things that are difficult to summarize into one little sentence, so I'd like to expand on those so that when you do receive these each month, you'll kind of know what we're looking at. Really, this is driven by a dashboard that we watch. We haven't been able to share this with any kind of consistency in the past, and we feel that we will be able to now. This report will also be published onto the Story County website each month. Traditionally, what we had published were just very generic statistical analysis in a little spreadsheet, and this is the new report that will be replacing that. So if you start at the top, we've broken out year-to-date. Fires, we've had 5 fires, EMS calls 87, total calls are 116. There's a kind of an odd line in there called service calls. What those service calls are water leaks, down power lines, utility-type calls. So those types of incidents in the National Incident Reporting System are all called service calls. So that's a point of reference for you in the future. The pie chart right next to it just kind of reflects, obviously we run about 87% EMS calls. The January calls obviously will shadow year-to-date calls, so I'm not going to hit on that. But again, just remember, service calls are all those ancillary type of calls that aren't fires, aren't EMS, aren't vehicle accidents, that type of thing. The next line down is the internal statistical dashboard, and that's stuff that we watch that's important to us. Number of volunteer responses in January were 7, so there were 7 incidents that warranted a volunteer level response. Average response time, which is critically important to us, is 8 minutes 30 seconds district-wide. And I want to hit on that really broadly. That's district-wide. So that's calls to Wadsworth. That's calls out on Interstate 80. That might be a mutual aid call to Fernley. That might even include an inter-facility transfer from Fallon Churchill, the Banner Hospital out there. So those get skewed quickly, but 8:30 is completely within our tolerances, our allowable times. We're very happy with that number. Patient transports for January were 23. Patient transports year to date, obviously 23 as well. Hours spent out of district on transports. We track that internally because it does a few things. We drill down more finely into that number. What that tells us is, are we meeting our target numbers for responses? It also tells us, are we being held up the hospital unwarrantedly because there's no beds? So if we see that number ever flow in any direction, we know that there's a problem in the system somewhere that we can go back and drill down and find that problem and hopefully fix that and address it. So that's a really important number to us that we watch internally. Highest call volume day of the week, I just think that's interesting information to have, and that's on a Friday. And more particularly, it's between 6 and 7 at night on Fridays, which I thought was very interesting, especially with tourism, with the call volumes on Interstate 80, with people traveling back and forth to ski resorts. So interesting fact there. North County monthly automatic aid, as you'll recall, we have a very robust agreement with Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, in that when we did the land exchange with them, we agreed to expand that out to Wadsworth for automatic aid. We've always had mutual aid, but this is automatic aid now. So I thought you'd be interested to see total North District, which is Station 74 and 75 combined, had 64 calls. Of those 64 calls, 36 were in our county, and 28 were out of our county. And that's just reflected below. So of those total calls, 56% are in county, 44% are out of county. Calls by district, again, I think that's an interesting thing that we watch closely. Virginia City had 33, the Highlands had 19, Lockwood 29, and McCarran, I've been reporting to you, has been getting busier, and that number represents that. They had 35 incidents. Fire prevention, this will continue to grow. There's not a lot of really good quality information yet, but as the year-to-date expands, I think you'll see how busy that prevention division within our department is, our district. They've done 30 annual inspections. Annual fire inspections year-to-date is obviously 30. New business inspections year-to-date are 19, and those are all the business license type commercial inspections. Re-inspections, we've only had 2. Again, that's only January, so that number you'll see increase dramatically as the year-to-dates increase. Number of fire permits issued, 7. And this is an important one. Fire plan reviews completed were 14. So that's 14 new additions of, it could be a conveyor system all the way up to a completely new building. And then, as you know, we have an annual business plan. It just measures how we're functioning internally throughout the year. And our monthly annual areas of responsibility completed this month in January were HAZMAT technicians completed all their annual recertifications, which you'll probably recall are 32 hours mandatory annual recertifications to stay on that Quad County HAZMAT team. And that's after the 360 hours of initial training. So we track that. All below ground tanks were checked in the Virginia City Highlands. Standardizations we do every month on all apparatus, those were all done, and all evacuation barrels were inspected. So again, just kind of a snapshot in time. We find this very beneficial, so hopefully you'll find it beneficial as well. I won't be up here blabbing every month. I'll just send this electronically to you, but if you have any questions or if you'd like to see anything added or deleted from this that you don't really have an interest in or that you have more interest in something else, please let us know. And the public as well, if there's something that we're doing that you're interested in, please tell us and we'll add it in. So,
is this going to be posted online?
It is. Yes, sir. It should be up by the end of work tomorrow. I'm not sure where it's at on Alicia's to-do list. Her list keeps growing every day, it seems like, but it is on her to-do list.
This is great. Thank you, Derek. Yeah.
Great.
This is good information to have.
Great. Thank you. That's all I have.
Good snapshot. Anything, Jack?
No, I think it's great. Easy to follow.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Over at Community Development, Stacy, do you have anything for us today? All right. Houston, do I have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing today.
Over at the Public Works Department, Mike Nevin. Try the plug in the back of your mic, in and out.
Yeah. The light's on. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mike Nevin for the record, Public Works Director. Just a couple of things that I think I should share with you today. Of course, we've been fairly busy with recent storms that we've had. Had a pretty significant one over the weekend. We have some issues with a couple of our snow plows as a result. These two plows are 1983, 1984 vintage vehicles. The front end is out on one, and the other one is about dead. So I've taken it upon myself to search for some excess property vehicles. And these are vehicles that are offered to us through the state of Nevada Department of Purchasing through the federal program. We did locate and were awarded five truck tractors. Four of these are located in Sierra Army Depot, and we picked up a couple, and we'll pick up a couple more tomorrow. So my goal is to take these vehicles, get them retrofitted, and turn them into these are all-wheel drives, 6x6 snowplows. The value new of these trucks, and they have real low mileage on them, they weren't used a lot, but the value, total value for five of these trucks came to about $715,000, and we pay $25 a piece for them. So, you know, pretty significant savings if you look at the big picture. And one of them is fairly new. It's all of them are 1990s vintage, but one of them's 2010. So hopefully we scored well, and with a little bit of forethought on our part and some work by the shop and possibly some outside contract, we should be able to outfit a couple of snowplows for, you know, about maybe $100,000 in all total. So that's a pretty good deal. So I just wanted to share that with you. The other thing that over the weekend we discovered, we had a pretty critical infrastructure issue here locally relative to our water plant and communications. We lost power to our hillside tanks, and the hillside tanks are the two tanks on the south end of Virginia City, basically on the divide, that reside above the tank. The power comes from the building and feeds uphill through a trench up to the tank site, and this controls the plant operations as well as tank levels in town, Silver City, the Divide, Gold Hill, if you will. When we lost the link, so to speak, we were dead in the water. Couldn't operate the plant. Didn't know, you know, without manually climbing up to the top of the tank, the levels of the tanks. So just trying to trace down the issue, we discovered that the conduits that go into the little control building up at the tank site terminate outside the building and go down about maybe a foot, and then there's no conduits. Apparently this wire looks like it was laid, you know, in the ground, not in conduits. So that's been about 16 years ago, we figure. So where the issue really is, we're not certain, because that the way the crow flies between the tanks and the water plant is about 1,000 feet. So we're trying to determine exactly where the issue may be, but it looks as if we'll probably have to replace that whole line. In the interim, we're back up and operational with a temporary gen set up there that we have to manually fuel about three times a day. So it's a huge inconvenience, but we are making water as I speak, so that's a good thing. Once we did get back up and operational yesterday morning, we discovered that the tanks actually would not have met any significant fire flow should we had a major conflagration here in town. So it was kind of a scary situation all the way along, but we're trying to work through it. There's certainly going to be some costs associated with the repair, naturally. But once we decide which route we're going to take, and we're looking at all our options, including solar. So we'll be back in touch, or at least I'll be back in touch with Pat and Hugh to, you know, and then I'll keep you folks in the loop as well. But the good thing is we are back up and operational. So just something we got to work through and decide how we're going to handle it. Other items of interest, the siphon line replacement underneath Interstate 580 is moving along. MDOT is currently working to update the environmental assessment because this is a federally funded project, and as a result, State Historic Preservation is involved. As you are aware, the Marlette system is on the National Register. It was placed there in 1992. Although this pipeline exists underneath the freeway, it's not something that's visible, but their cultural resources folks and SHPO are in communications to resolve any concerns that may be out there regarding the replacement of the pipeline underneath the freeway there. It appears, and I'm sure you're all well aware if you listen to the news, we're having a pretty significant water season this year. They took a reading, I believe it was yesterday, on the Mount Rose summit up there, and I think they're showing about 128% of normal. I looked on the Marlette Basin. It appears that Marlette Lake is almost up to spill. Hobart is spilling now, finally, so that's a good thing. The East Slope catchments along the eastern side of the Sierras are producing pretty good water. The other day, Friday, when it was warmer, they were spilling at the diversion dam about 7 inches. So, you know, we're taking all we could get, and Carson City was taking all they could get, and they're still spilling 7 inches that goes down, of course, Franktown Creek and eventually finds its way into Washoe Lake. And if you notice, Washoe Lake has got water in it again, so that's a good thing. So just wanted to share that. Myself, Pat, Gary, and Jason met with the MDOT contractor for the USA Parkway extension, Ames Construction. They have some interest in some temporary space in our tri-facility while that project moves along. So we've been in negotiations with them to maybe have them do some TI improvements on their dime. We'll benefit, they'll benefit, so we're moving along there. And then this would be a shared deal between NDOT and Ames. NDOT probably would put a construction trailer out on the west side there, so the only thing we'd have to provide them would be some power. So looking pretty positive. It'll be a win-win for everybody, so kind of a nice deal there. I think that's about all I have. So,
Mike,
Mr. Commissioner,
the water line under the highway that they have to replace, that's the original water line?
No, in some respects, we're using the second pipeline, and the second pipeline was constructed in 1875, and that's what's under the highway, and that's what feeds up to what we call the top of the siphon on our side.
Okay, would that be a section we might want to keep for historic?
Well, no, that will remain in the ground.
Oh, okay.
They have no intentions of removing that. That would be a huge project. What they're going to do is bore underneath the freeway, put in a sleeve, and then a new pipe will go inside that sleeve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mike, can you take a minute and talk about our meeting with Far West and NDOT on the storm drains?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, myself and Manager Witten met with a couple of representatives at NDOT and Far West. I believe it was a week before last, actually, now, to have them move the 4 storm drains on the south end of C Street off of the sewer system. Those have been tied in for several years. They date back into the early 80s. When they did the work along C Street as part of an NDOT project, and why these particular storm drains on the south end were never tied into the main storm drain line. This probably was a money issue for sure. But nevertheless, they create huge issues for us, especially in the wintertime with the salt that's used on the C Street. So MnDOT has agreed to put this on a high priority because we did inform them that we have the funding in place to do the sewer improvements in Virginia City and Gold Hill, so they're well aware of our timetable. So they're in the process of design and engineering. We give them a couple of alternative routes to take a look at, so we'll continue to stay on top of that as well. And it looks like we'll probably work, you know, a deal where we cost share this, possibly a 50-50 split. It's not significant dollars for either the county and or MDOT, so should, you know, we anticipate a pretty smooth project actually once we establish the route through probably some existing county right away down Flowery Street and to the east. So just a little update on that.
Good. Was there any conversation on curbs and gutters by chance?
No, but we did have that conversation back. That was in.
I was thinking of some of your intersections at Taylor and Union Streets, post office entryway.
It's bad.
Those things are so bad that.
Yeah. The process continues.
You might have to get a permit and do it yourself.
I think the meeting Mike's referring to, we learned an awful lot in that MnDOT has its own bureaucracies. We were working, I think, with the hydrologists or that division, whatever they were. The right-of-way division is the problem and is also the problem with the curbs and gutters. There's some dispute over inside edge, outside edge that we continue to work through. So.
The right-of-way folks are like their own little kingdom over there.
That would be a good item, though, to bring up when the MnDOT folks come back in the summertime, right. I think, where they present their annual plan.
Yeah, we can bring it up again.
We, on a positive note along that line, I know Jason and Sherry have been involved, and we've kind of talked a little bit amongst us about putting in for some of these federal dollars and grant dollars to possibly at least do something with sidewalks on the south end of town. So okay. We'll see how that all plays out.
Right.
That's all I got.
Any other questions for Mike? Good to go. All
Thank
right.
you much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Senior Planner Osborne and HR Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I just want to remind you and the public that this Thursday, February 4th, there will be a Planning Commission workshop in Lockwood. We'll be holding that at the Senior Center Community Center, and that will be at 6 o'clock p.m., and we'll be hearing comments from the public on the nearly complete draft of the master plan update. Thank you.
Great. Any questions?
Would you mind just giving a brief opening of the annual meeting with Far West? The meeting with Far West, what role are some of the elements that we discussed and we're focusing on next year?
Sure. We had a team meeting. We meet annually with Far West Engineering, our engineer of record for Story County, and we talked about various projects in the county and where we are and what we might do. There were a lot of aspects to that meeting. I'm trying to remember them all. Now, one of them was we talked about Mark Twain and some of the flood mitigation that this board and staff have been looking at making some improvements to the Mark Twain area since the last flooding event. And so I brought up during that meeting that I work with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. And I sit on that board as well. And that board provides assistance to flood mitigation projects and for flood planning and mapping and other sorts of matters. I had talked with Far West about potentially working with Ed James from the Carson Water Subconservancy. I talked to Ed James as well and trying to put them both together and see if there might be a way that we can secure funding to do not flood mapping for Mark Twain, but flood mitigation. And for example, perhaps having funding for a study to take what Far West had done in 2011 to another level and study what specific mitigation might affect the Mark Twain area with regard to flood detention of water in the region coming into the area. For example, we could go in there and put culverts and street improvements and things like that throughout the entire community, and those improvements could be useless if we don't manage the water coming off of the adjacent watershed, particularly the alluvial fan. There might be money available for us to actually purchase properties or portions of properties if people want to cooperate in that type of endeavor, for us to put in flood detention basins that would mitigate or catch all that water, and then we could just look at the local storm drainage throughout the Mark Twain area. This is all going to be pursuant to cooperation from Subconservancy District and Ed James, the Mark Twain residents, and the feasibility of actually doing this in the next couple of years, but it's something we're looking at doing. And that was one major item we talked about.
Any questions for Austin?
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Community Relations, Sherry Devon. Thank you. Out of the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher, do you have anything before we get on to your audited financials?
Nothing this time.
Okay. Okay. Sheriff Jerry?
Nothing at this time.
Mr. D.A. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, Deputy District Attorney. I thought I'd update you on a couple things. Number one, we've completed the briefing on the Malfitano case as of last Wednesday. So everything has been briefed. It's been submitted to the judge, and we're now awaiting a decision from the judge as to what's going to happen, what he's going to make of the case. The other major thing that we've been working on is I've submitted some comments to the Rural Development regarding the nature of the engineering contract with Far West for the sewer improvements, and they are going to take a look at those comments and tell us whether or not they have issues with them or not. I had submitted the contract to the Pool Pact Insurance risk manager to get his comments, and he had some comments about some changes that he recommended. Those have been submitted to the engineer for Rural Development also, and so we expect to have those comments back shortly, and we'll see what they have to say. And nothing for other than that.
Okay, thank you.
So I got a question. So we're waiting to hear from Judge Wilson again?
Yes.
As far as?
His decision on the petition for a writ of mandamus.
Okay. Right. I thought he'd already made that decision.
No, he remanded it back to the board to get some further information from the board as to the reasons why you made the decision that you did. Once that was, we prepared a transcript of that meeting and sent it to the judge. There was then two levels of briefing that were completed last Wednesday, and the matter is fully briefed and submitted to the judge.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Special Counsel Morris.
Nothing today, thank you.
County Manager Wood.
Sorry, seem to be having microphone problems that we'll fix. Actually, everybody did a great job covering everything, so about the only thing I haven't heard that I'll mention, I think Lance and I are both back on the lecture circuit quite a bit. A little over a week ago, I gave a lunchtime talk to the fiscal officers of the construction field, so those would be the controllers for Q&D and various companies. And obviously Tri, Tesla were the major focus of topic. From there, I had to make a mad dash over to the Atlantis for a great day, great announcement. Governor Sandoval was there together with our three commissioners, as you well know, and several others announcing the arrival of a new company, Jet.com. Jet's a great company. I think I talked about it at the last meeting, knowing that they were coming up. They kind of envisioned themselves as the Costco of the Internet. Except if you buy $35, it gets delivered right to your front doorstep. So great people. Their CEO was here, and along with their CEO.
Right after that meeting?
Yes, sir.
I decided to give it a try, and I did that for the house.
Yep.
And the next morning, I got all my groceries.
Yep.
It really works.
I'll tell you, it's great. And then that was a very busy day because that evening we capped it off with a great dinner and presentation at the Gold Hill Hotel by Commissioner Gilman, speaking yet again of TRI, past, present, and future. And I thought that was a fabulous presentation. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Pat.
Do we have an update on their zip code issue?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, we're inching slowly, I guess is still the best report I can give. But we've taken this into a two-front attack. For background, we have made concerted efforts over the past, I would say, 18 months at least, with Congressman Amade's office through John Porter. We've also presented it to Senator Heller, and Senator Reid as well, trying to get the U.S. Postal System to agree to issue a separate zip code, at least for the river district, at least for the whole river district, and specifically to the Tri area. The post office continues to be entrenched in the fact that if it does not streamline the delivery of the U.S. mail, they don't care. They're not going to do anything about it. They pretty much told Congressman Amade that direct, but then they gave kind of a new angle to this. They said, you know, if everybody just used the plus four, magic would happen, and it would work out great. We were skeptical of that. We've tested it on Internet purchases with the help of Nicole in the past. You know, it seemed to work on small purchases, but most of these vendors that are supplying good or products out there, racking components and those types of things, I haven't got a clue what county they're in. They just reported it as Sparks, Nevada, usually 89434. So at Congressman Amade's request, I did a couple things. There's a lady who is just eminently respected in Nevada on tax issues. Her name is Carol Velardo. She's the current director of the Nevada Taxpayers Association. She's a fabulous person, knows more probably than everybody in the Department of Taxation combined, to be truthful. Talked with her, and she, in her own eminent way, basically said, hogwash. Plus four is not a solution. The Department of Taxation software is so antiquated that it couldn't even handle plus four. And the problems go even deeper than that in that, again, there are so many different vendor accounting systems that are out there, supplier accounting systems from the Western Nevadas, the Q&Ds, companies that, you know, are national and international, that they may not have plus four input. So I followed up with the Deputy Director of Taxation, Commissioner McBride, Comptroller Gallagher, D.A. Langer, and myself, met with the Deputy Director of Taxation, Terry Rubald, the Division Director of Sales Tax, Sumiko, and a gentleman that is, I think, a Deputy Director with their IT services. And it was, I think Marshall said on the way out that was probably one of the more progressive and lightning meetings that we've ever had. They acknowledged that the software that they use, which is an interface provided by Pitney Bowes, doesn't even ask for a ZIP plus four. If we were to try to get that factored in there, that would be, in the IT gentleman's words, a huge change. So we agreed on a couple of things with taxation. They've acknowledged the problem. I still don't think that the problem singularly lies with taxation because of all those other software programs that are out there that aren't theirs. But they're going to begin to test some results. They're going to talk to their Pitney Bowes vendor. They're going to see what other states are doing with similar jurisdictions, similar issues as far as accounting software. We're going to give them one specific project that we know was recently completed, built from ground up, and isn't so huge that getting a list of vendors isn't going to, you know, wind up being that massive. And Stacy, and I want to thank Stacy, who is here. She's been tremendously helpful. But we're going to focus on one new company, and we've already asked for a list of all their vendors that provided products that went into the construction of the facility. And then we're going to have taxation audit those to see who reported what. And then we're also going to provide them what's turning into a pretty robust list of people that retail out in the whole river district. I mean, we've expanded this to include Lockwood. and Rainbow Bend. So we're going to give them a list of those retailers that we know should be reporting and have them audit those at the same time. And we probably the most important thing that I felt was a huge victory with taxation is Commissioner McBride, myself, and I believe Comptroller Gallagher met with taxation about 2 years ago with the then director, Chris Nielsen. And Chris did a song and dance that basically blamed the feds, talked about the Marketplace Fairness Act, all those things, and said, go away. We've gotten nowhere in the subsequent 2 years. So we've agreed to try to be disciplined enough with the taxation attack to meet monthly. It may be every 5 weeks or so, but we really want to keep our focus on this while we try to get this fixed. And for the first time ever, I think taxation said, okay, we're hearing you. We really do have a problem, and we really do want to work on it. Would you agree? Then back to the federal approach. Commissioner McBride and I have a conference call with Congressman Amade and his staff tomorrow on this, mostly to brief about the Department of Taxation. Interesting enough, I want to go back to the ZIP Plus 4 for a minute, and again, credit Stacy. We wanted to test the ZIP Plus 4, and those are hard to determine unless you go to the U.S. Postal website. So Stacy did this in the course of about a quarter of a day. She went to the postal website, and we have physical addresses for every business out in the tri-area. And keep in mind, when I say the tri-area, they're not necessarily in tri. There are a number of businesses that are located outside the confines of the park itself. But Stacy tested, determined the ZIP plus 4 for each of those businesses, because a lot of the businesses, when she had sent out a letter requesting what is your ZIP plus 4 and are you using it, they said, we don't know. We haven't got a clue. So she determined every ZIP plus 4, and she found this little icon on the side, kind of like a little eye for information, and she clicked on it. And it gives to the public U.S. postal information, such as what carrier route is this, what is this, what is this, and also key in there, it shows what county they say that property is located in. And keep in mind, we have about a 25,000 square foot facility out there that houses our fire EMS operations, our road crews, several offices, satellite office for Dean, for myself and others. We were sited in Washoe County, along with 50% of the businesses that were out in tri on the postal system's website. So we mentioned that to Congressman Amade's staff, and magically, Stacy tested it again yesterday, and I think all but one or two of the brand new ones have been fixed. So that'll be a topic of discussion again tomorrow as well. Long story short, we're just going to keep pressing on both fronts. You, Commissioner McGuffey, Chairman McBride, myself, go back to Washington, D.C., I believe, in the latter part of this month. It will be again a top agenda item when we sit down and say we need our own zip code. I think the taxation approach is a good one, but it's not the fix-all. I think the analogy I gave Lance is I've got a paper cut on this hand and I put a Band-Aid on, but this whole hand's been chopped off. That's the problem. The problem is we need zip codes.
So it's been about 10, 11 months ago after our last trip to Washington, discussing this with Mr. Porter and our representatives, I brought this to the NACO board. And, several of the other counties are going, yay, great. They understand. They have the same problem. And so they're kind of relying on us to lead the way kind of thing. Now, with that said, is there something I have another NACO meeting here coming up. Should I press this to see if we can get some support, and how would we want them to support us, I guess?
I think you and I should talk strategy in advance of that meeting.
Yeah.
Keep in mind what we're really saying is money that should be going to us is going to Washoe County.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of votes on that NACO board, so I think we need to kind of we need to find the right path. It'd be great to have NACO support. I recall maybe Commissioner McBride, maybe 3 years ago, we were in a lobbyist meeting with our four counties, Lyon, Carson, Douglas, and Story, a luncheon, and we had our state delegation there, Senator Settlemyer, and at the time probably Assemblyman Grady or maybe Assemblyman Wheeler, I don't recall who it was back then, P.K. O'Neill and a number of others. And we did bring that up, and there are shared interests in many other regions. If you think about even close to home, apparently the Topsy Lane area of Douglas County uses an awful lot of Carson City addressing, so there's an awful lot of sales tax that's probably been wrong. My concern and what we're really trying to drive home, and again, Stacy did a great job with this test pilot company that we're going to use, probably is not only that we're not getting the sales tax dollars that we are entitled to, keeping in mind that we think somewhere in statute, although we've not been able to find it, that there's something that says it's the Department of Taxation's responsibility to assess, collect, and distribute sales tax monies accurately, and they are not doing that. But of equal concern, I think, from a constituency standpoint, is people are being overcharged. Washoe County's sales tax rate is at least an eighth of a point higher, and depending on what their solutions are for their school bond coming this November, one of those was to yet again raise their sales tax. So I'll work with you on a strategy that maybe is a little vanilla, but could still work for a number of jurisdictions.
Okay, great.
Anything else, Commissioners?
No, that's good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. That concludes the committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 12. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner McGuffey, anything today?
Yes, just one item. The V&T Commission lost a very good member this was a week ago. His name is Kevin Ray. He's been with the commission for years, and he was instrumental in keeping everything, trying to keep everything running within a budget. He's a very nice guy, very easy to work with, and I and the whole team will miss him. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
And I, too, have nothing today. We'll move on now to item number 13, discussion and possible action, the approval of Story County audited financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2015. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. First of all, I must apologize for the tardiness of this report. The field work by David A. Pengold, CPA Limited, was done in a timely manner, and the field work was done on November 19th of 2015. The draft report was submitted, and upon review of staff review that we completed, we're looking at, it had to do with a number in our tax receipt. And we spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, every single year trying to nail down what we think property taxes in general will bring to the county. We bring a consultant in who was an analyst with the Department of Taxation for over 20 years. And so we felt very, very confident that our budget numbers for what we projected for the year ended 2015 were, in fact, going to become close. In fact, they didn't. The original draft was somewhere around $700,000 less than we had anticipated. So in looking at that and going back through our revenue reports and all of the transactions that transpired in July, August, and September, we found that there was a payment that we should have received in April from the Department of Taxation in the amount of a little over $2 million for centrally assessed. Now, centrally assessed is not really a property tax. Centrally assessed is it's an assessment on those people who are exempt from property tax i.e. railroads, natural gas, utilities, and airlines. There's a huge formula that they transpire. They get the state formula for that, and then they pass this on down the counties. This would have should have been done in April. We should have been collected and receipted in April. We should have gotten that money. We didn't get that till the middle of July. We caught that on review, and so subsequently we had to notify our outside auditor that we had found a problem that that we felt was just too big. And so during that review process, we decided we'd better look at some other things to see if there were something else in there, i.e. the Department of Taxation, that we may have missed along the way, that was a timing difference that should have been in 2015 fiscal year and was receipted and received in 2016. Finding none, we are where we are today, and a notice was given to the Department of Taxation as to that we would not meet the deadline of November 30th. So with that passing, we've had a very, very busy year this year. With your direction and that of County Manager Witten, we have, the legislature has given us the ability or at least created a tax-free zone for which Tesla through SB1 was created. We got a new super loop at the end of that legislative session, which was created for the industrial park, which now we have a huge start for the progress of that industrial park. We've had the completion of phase one of a water treatment plant, of our wastewater treatment plant. We've had the redevelopment or the development of a 474 Fire District, which was really a special revenue funds within the county, a major component of this county. We've had to address all of those issues, as well as taking a separate local government that shouldn't have been, which is our Tourism Commission, and bringing it back into the county. This was created by a an analyst at the Department of Taxation that felt very strongly that the Tourism Commission should be a separate local government. We had battled for almost a year and a half trying to say that we do not think that that is the case. We finally got a letter apologizing for that error because, in fact, the Board of County Commissioners, since it sets the tax rate on that option tax, is the board for the Tourism Commission. The Tourism Board now reverts to an advisory board, which in no way diminishes the power of what they've got, but all of those things now are going to have to be represented by your approval as far as the budget process, contractual obligations, etc. We have, in our public safety, we've got three brand new ambulances. We've got two structure engines. We've got five additional sheriff vehicles, or three structure engines, excuse me. We've had some land purchases during the year, land improvements, water system improvements, either to the 5 mile reservoir or the divide reservoir, and building upgrades. I mean, it was a very, very busy year, and all of that I thought was handled with your direction very, very well. If you look at our capital assets, the net assets for Story County, they are about $86 million. This is about $4,200,000 more than it was the previous year, which is pretty much the completion of the wastewater treatment plant and the purchases of the public safety equipment. Our liabilities are $49,800,000, which only went up about $74,000. And the reason being is that we have very little debt that we're assuming. Obviously, we have the $42 million that we've got with the our public-private partner. But we don't, we try and spend things, if we're going to spend for an item, we don't want to go through medium-term financing, incur all the debt of interest payments, lease payments, et cetera, and we would rather do that ourselves. This may change in future, but as of this point, I think it's worked out very well. If you looked at NRS 244-805, as far as what our general obligation debt could be, by statute, it is 10% of our assessed valuation, which means that we could have a general obligation debt of a little over $517 million. Now, for the fire chief and public works director, you didn't hear that number because I'd be getting something in the mail probably next week. As far as our capital assets are concerned, it's really a creation of the Story County net assets. Our construction in progress, we had to put all of that, various phases of the wastewater treatment plant and that. We had to take that out, and now it is now a capital asset. The building and improvements are about $7.1 million. Land still is about $229,000, which was the purchase of the Gallagher Clark lot across the way here and also the lot across from the swimming pool. For countywide funds, this is funds now, revenue. Our taxes increased for countywide, this includes the entire county, about $673,000, of which $600,000 of that was really the centrally assessed that we were over and above on the budget. Taxes for property taxes remained relatively the same as it was in 2014 for ad valorem. Licenses and permits increased to $105,000, which gives us an indication of the expansion of the park, as does our charges for services, for which our fire chief has plan review fees and permit fees on that side. Our miscellaneous category increased a little bit, of which part of it was due to Toys R Us. They did not satisfy their obligations and therefore had to state they had to pay taxes for at least the abated portion for the first 3 years that they were in business. General government expenses were about $7.8 million. Public safety, a little over $9 million. Judicial was about a little over $900,000, and our debt service was about $19 million. Our ending fund balance for the entire county increased about $1.8 million to $20 million, a little over $20,887,000. Healthy, I would say. As far as the general fund is concerned, taxes increased about $1 million over last year, which again is, I think, the increase in centrally assessed. Licensing and permits increased again, $118,000 because of the industrial park. And as far as the governmental expenditures, they were about $10 million. Which left us with an excess of about $3.1 million. We now have a ending fund balance of $6,600,000, which is down $2.5 million from the previous year because, as we know, we gave some money to CAP projects, about $2.5 million to CAP projects, to fund some of those projects. We have five individual departments or funds that have excess expenditures over appropriations. They include Community Development Department, and I'm surprised it wasn't more because of the effect of the legislature, Tesla, Switch, all of those things. Dean Haymore and his staff have worked relentlessly on this, understanding that when that hit, trying to get building inspectors and the amount of administrative work that they have to do on a day-to-day basis is absolutely unbelievable, and they handled it very, very well. The Tourism Commission was over expenditures by $146,000. If you took a look at the special events that Denny and his group have created, I would classify it as probably a monster year last year. And understanding that room tax revenues probably were not what we thought they were, the quarter cent sales tax and room tax revenue is about all they get. I think they handled that very well, and, you know, expenditures be that they may, they had a brand new arena. They had to move from the location down by the Sloverland, almost clear across town to where its present site is. That took some money. An engine accident was over-appropriated or under-appropriated, about $17,000. That's a direct result of legislation. I mean, it's every legislature, you hold your breath, and usually what happens at the last part of it, you get something that's either maybe retroactive or something of this nature, and I think this is the case that happened with the engine accident. And our water service was over about $35,000. That's kind of handled because it's a quasi-enterprise fund, and so that's going to be handled through because of the a lot of the additions that they had to make to the siphon system, to the divide and sewer. We will be writing the Department of Taxation, telling them exactly why those places excess and appropriations are over. And I really don't mind doing it when we understand what it is. As I have told them in the past, we operate on a very thin budget, one that we can that we know about, that we don't as other counties do, we don't project for what could happen. We project for what we think is going to happen, and we don't put any there's not a lot of fluff in those budgets, and I don't mind doing that. There is one fund that has a deficit ending fund balance, and that's our USDA bond fund. Now, this is a fund that's an in and out account. We bring in the funds from USDA, the proceeds from the USDA, and we expend them for two projects. One was the wastewater treatment plant, and the other one was for our fire engines, which we're probably still catching up. This will take care of itself this year. We will not have a problem. As far as our auditor's recommendations, and I think they're on page 81 and 82 of your report. I think the auditor's report and prior year's recommendations, I think we did a pretty good job of trying to clean that up. We partially implemented the monitoring of expenses to prevent exceeding budgeted amounts. We're probably always going to get that one because if we're as close to the vest with budgeting as we are, any little thing can throw us out of there. But if it's explainable, I don't mind saying that this is what we did to anybody, including Department of Taxation. We implemented the, we recommend more care be taken in recording of cash receipts. That was done. We partially implemented the capital expenditures over $10,000 in the fire service revenue fund. We are already doing this at a $1,500 level, and so consequently I think that this is, we'll rectify this with our auditor next year. We recommend care should be taken in the assignment of account numbers prior to recording liabilities in the accounting records. This was partially implemented. We're getting very close to that. Sometimes certain things get recorded into certain other accounts, especially liability accounts. We're catching this. We catch it, hopefully, every time we do vouchers or every month. We'll continue to work on this. We recommended account names and federal grants funds be reviewed and adjusted to further differentiate the federal and state grant revenues and expenditures. This was partially implemented during the fiscal year. We have a tough time trying to figure out at the inception what is a state grant and what's a federal grant. Sometimes it incurs a state grant, but any time there's federal money from that state that is infused into that grant, it now becomes a federal grant. We are now doing things quarterly to make sure that all of these things are correct. This is with between Sherry and Evan, myself, and Jesse Fain, and we should not have this problem next year. And then the other thing was, there was we recommend more care in the recording of journal entries and review postings. This was implemented, so we have at least that was not a problem. And then we recommend that a cutoff date of April 15 be established for payables, journal entries, and receivables. This was partially implemented. Again, we have tried to take care of this. We have got a very, very good idea of what's happening on the liability side as far as our appropriations are concerned. I don't like to leave them open for a long time because we want to get things done so the auditor can come in and start doing his field work. What we haven't done, obviously from this year, is we haven't spent enough time looking on the revenue side, or we probably or may have caught the $2 million centrally assessed deposit in July that we should have gotten in April. So we'll work on that. Our recommendations for this year are such. Again, monitoring expenditures to prevent exceeding budgeted amounts of expenditures exceeded appropriations in the general fund and for special revenue funds, as I have said. The assignment of account numbers is always going to be a problem. We're trying to get this chart of account was established probably in the 1980s, as certain requirements by the Department of Taxation incur that says that certain items need to be put in certain functions. We always have that trying to find out if that belongs in a function or not. We will continue to work on this. The federal grant thing, again, is something that we're constantly working on. My hope is that we're going to have this solved this year. The journal entry, we go by journal entries. My staff and myself go through that now to make sure that all the journal entries are posted to the right accounts, and that we take a little more of a view to say that, okay, we know that this hit that account, and it only takes one or two, but we're making a special effort to do that this year. And we recommend a cutoff date of October 30th be established and strictly enforced for all payables, receivables, and journal entries by any government employee to prevent complications with the audit. We can, you know, August 30th is an inordinate period of time. I agree with Pringle on some of those. We will try and we will constantly look after on our appropriations and on our revenues to make sure each and every month that we have got something that does not belong in June instead of July. That being said, We have the challenge for this year. And the challenge for this year is pretty much stay the course. We have an excellent second quarter review of where we are, what we're doing. If we will continue to hold that line, understanding that when spring comes, we're going to have road repair in the industrial park. I'm pretty sure Mike's going to be out there on a plan that was pretty much formed last year. And we have additions, probably additions that have currently applied and may currently apply to the Station 75 complex in the industrial park. For the fiscal year ended 2017, we've got some challenges. We have the expansion of the industrial park to the extent that where do we now look at or what do we anticipate our needs being in public safety, public works, again, roads, whatever, general government, and our economic development strategy. All those big plans are sitting there. We also have, for the ending of this year, we have a General Accounting and Standards Board Bulletin number 77, which has to do with a report that we have to provide on all abatements that we have received during the year and how it affects taxes. This bulletin has been going on for some time. However, it is required for those financial statements after completed after December 31st, 2015. And what it basically says is that what we have to disclose is a brief descriptive information such as the tax being abated, the authority under which the abatements are provided, eligibility criteria, the mechanism by which taxes are abated, provisions for recapturing abated taxes, and types of commitments made by tax abatement recipients, the gross dollar amount of taxes abated during that period of year, and commitments made by government other than to abate taxes as part of a tax abatement agreement. Now, as we understand, this was not, you know, everything in the industrial park may or may not be abated at some point in time. We know that the legislature did their job. However, it is our financial statement, and we will probably have to, and we will have a requirement in this year's 2016 financial statement to disclose that. That all being said, it is time to look at a tax rate reduction. We have, under the direction of County Manager Whitten, I'll tell you what, maybe we've, since 2008, we've probably put $1 million to the bottom line every year. This was not an easy task. I mean, the department heads, public officials that we have bought into this every single step. We don't know if we can go to the well anymore, but we're going to give it a shot. There is a landscape out there that's way past my view. But we're gonna give this an attempt. We're gonna make a target out of this. Hopefully we can reduce the general fund at least the ad valorem part by $500,000. That's our target at this date. We've got another consultant or a consultant from that used to work for taxation that's going to at least tell us if we're wrong or if we're right on a certain number of things. But I feel we have to make the attempt because that was your direction. I like the direction that you're going on. We will do our best in order to do that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's my comments on financial statements.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Questions for you?
No questions. A big thank you. You know, we've been working this direction for 3 years now, and Pat longer, and certainly it looks like we're going to get the benefit of our bargain. So I appreciate the report, and thank you for the direction you're taking.
Commissioner McGuffey, do you have questions for you?
I have to concur with Mr. Gilman. Thank you very much. You're doing a great job.
Mr. Whitman.
I also want to point out that within this audit is actually another audit. So there's a subcomponent of this. Several years ago, and I apologize, and we'll defer to our auditor, to Hugh, we surpassed the threshold in terms of the dollar amount of federal grants that we have in play at any one point in time. And that requires a separate statement. And I'm going to just briefly read two parts of it. These appear on page 83 and 84. And in my opinion, they're equally as important as many of the other items that are in here, because more and more we are reliant on federal grant dollars. If you look at the sewer plant and many of these other programs. So beginning on page 83, and I'm not going to read you the whole report, but again, our independent auditor says, we have audited Story County, Nevada's compliance with the types of compliance requirements outlined in OMB Circular A33, it's a Fed jargon, that could have direct and material effect on each of Story County, Nevada's major federal grant programs for the year ended June 30, 2015. Most importantly, again, you go through, and I imagine most of this is canned stuff, most importantly is the opinion on each major federal program, which is contained in the second-to-last paragraph on page 83. In our opinion, Story County, Nevada complied in all material respects with the types of compliance requirements referred to above that could have a direct and material effect on each of its major federal programs for the year ended June 30, 2013. I want to tell you that's attributed to one person in this room, and a lot of people, but one person in particular that understands and gets and the federal government, like USDA, is currently doing to the tune of about $9 million, I think, on the remainder of the sewer plant, says, we'll give you $9 million. Here's our rules. There's one person that makes sure the T is crossed exactly in the right place, that every I is dotted, that we use blue ink instead of black ink in triplicate, and that's Sherry Nevin. And I want to thank Sherry, because that has not always been the case in Story County. I'll tell you a little horror story. We had our reliance on federal money for a program called Cops Now. This was back in the mid to late 90s. We took their money. We did little to no reporting. And we violated essentially every rule. And at that stage, the county was probably literally bankrupt, but I don't think we knew it. It's very humbling when someone from the comptroller of the currency or the federal government office from San Francisco comes and says, well, we show that we've given you $750,000 under these grants for the last 2 years. Write us a check and give it back. Cindy Wiley and I at the time spent probably the next 8 months convincing them through alternate records and everything that they actually owed us money. We don't have to live those nightmares anymore, and again, it's attributed to Sherry, so she deserves a great thanks.
Yes, she does. Okay, we can open it up for public comment right now. Does anybody have any questions to Hugh regarding the audit? Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. I agree with you. This was a good summary. I have one question. You said that the TRI abatements, or not the TRI, but the, any abatements that we have are going to have to be reported going forward per the circular you got, right? What about, and I don't know if we got these in this audit cycle or it's going to start in the current audit cycle. What about the offsets that we have in place with Tesla and others that, you know, give us back the money that we're having to spend because, you know, they're expanding so fast. Where does that fit in this audit, or had it not taken effect yet? And so is that going to be a future thing as well? Because is that going to show as revenue? Is that a special category of offset?
I don't think we received any offsets until past July 1st. It will be for this audit year.
All right. So are there going to be separate procedures for that, or is that not even
an audit issue? I'm trying to figure out right now what needs to be in that report. Unfortunately, there's not an example out there, but I'm going to try and find some sort of stuff either with GFOA or just probably have to go to GASB, those people themselves, and say, you know, if you can't give me an example, at least I'll send them what I think it is and see what they think.
It's going to be a potential gotcha next time if you don't do that at the front end. That's
right.
All. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
I think,
at the very least, it's worthy and we can work with Rick on what's compliant and what isn't. It's certainly worthy of at least a footnote in GASB because it'll appear worthy in everything.
Yeah.
This, to the best of my knowledge, can only apply to Tesla because even on Switch, there are abatements with no cost offsets. But with Tesla specifically, with them providing abated plan review and permitting fees, that's not germane, but it's that government services annual payment that they make that should at least be annotated somewhere in that statement.
Right. That is really something that probably I'm going to do, and Rick's going to have to audit, and so we'll get it right. It's going to be a piece of work, that's for sure. And with that, I'd like to thank Rick and his staff for being patient in this process. It's not easy. I mean, I know Rick has been. Done tremendous work up here for many, many years. I certainly appreciate it and all the advice and the help that he gives us. So thanks, Rick.
Any other public comment on this? Mr. Phillips.
Good morning. I'm Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. I want the record to reflect no members of the VCTC here except for Commissioner Gilman, especially in light of their budget over expenditures, and nobody here to explain that or apologize or talk about the future, especially after all these years of trying to decide whether the audit should be separate or part of the county. BCTC's refusal to hire or retain legal counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Any other public comment? See you on. Call for a motion to approve the Story County audited financial statements for the year ending June 30, 2015.
Also move.
I'll second that motion.
And moved to second to approve the Story County audited financial statements. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Did you
have a break? Yeah, why don't we take a break?
How about if we go ahead and take about a 10-minute recess, okay?